This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined, as always, on Friday mornings by my friend Rich Rebar from Sharp Football Analysis. We pick our five favorite games against the spread, and we got a lot of good games here, man. We did not have a good game on Thursday night. The Falcons having four wins, one of the biggest mysteries ever, because they are like Jets level bad when I watch them.
Well, to be fair, that version of the Falcons team did not win any of those games. True. They have a couple wins with Calvin Ridley actually on the field this year and Cordarrelle Patterson, who were, you know, when you remove, because that's a team that was obviously they had a top five pick last year, and you remove two of their best players that have been on their offense this year, there's just nothing else there. I mean, it's Kyle Pitts, a rookie like tight end, and nothing like Tajay Sharpe and Russell Gage and Mike Davis and maybe one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. I saw a lot of those tweets, but this version of the Falcons team didn't win four games.
No, that's true. I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson, their best player, pretty clearly. And it's subtraction by subtraction, because not only is Patterson probably their best player, but the players that they give touches instead of Patterson are like sub replacement level. Like even if Patterson is just a good NFL player, you know, Tajay Sharpe and Quadre Ollison and Wayne Gallman, like these guys are legitimately like they'll be in the XFL when it comes back.
To be fair, their defense was kind of game last night. Like it's not like the Patriots really lit it up offensively. I mean, they'd sell for a ton of field goals.
No, I mean, the Patriots ran up the score on the Browns and on the Jets, and they were not able to do that on offense against the Falcons.
How hilarious. Have you ever seen like two backup quarterbacks come in at each throw pass and get intercepted?
No, I needed that though, because I have a team in the silver bullet on the NFFC that's like just Pasty on the borderline of getting in on the points. Like we need every point possible, and we got a 30 burger from the Pasty Patriots defense. Yeah. That is something you love to wake up and see. Cause there was no way in hell I was watching the second half of that game. I was like,
no, I mean, I always have
can't make me,
I always have Thursday night football on in the corner while I fire up weekend league, the start of the weekend league. And, man, that game, obviously I hardly had to look over at it, but to see, our boy Josh Rosen come in and still collecting checks. Yeah, good for him. Good for Josh Rosen.
Yeah, good for him. All right, man. Let's pick some of these games. What is your number five?
Five. I want to go out hot here, and I'm gonna take the Cowboys. I'm gonna put them five, though.
I can't.
I know you're not touching it. There's no way.
I can't pick this game. It's a battle of the wills, but I have almost rarely been so excited for a football game in my life. Like it's going to be, well, I hope it's amazing. It's going to be a real bummer if it's the Zeke and Daryl show.
I'll tell you what, if the game ends up sucking, there's going to be a lot of disgruntled DFS players.
Yes. Yeah. People are although
everyone's
upset.
Expensive in that game. But I just think that the Cowboys are a little bit better. I actually show that they should be favored in this game. Now, granted, it's in Arrowhead. So, you get the swing, and that's why it's 2.5. But I mean, the Chiefs, 0-5 against the spread at home this season, 0-9 in their past 9 regular season home games. I also just think the Cowboys are, they're too versatile for the Chiefs defense. I mean, it's cool when you're stopping Daniel Jones, you're stopping Jordan Love and the Henry Ruggs.
Yeah, bad narratives about the Chiefs defense out there right now about how they figured things out on defense.
Yeah, because the Cowboys are a team that, really, if you look at their losses, like their only losses are teams that can really get pressure like with really good front fours, and the Chiefs probably aren't one of those teams. And if they're ahead, the Cowboys are showed you like they'll play two backs, two tight ends, and they'll run down your throat. And if you get ahead on them, they have the personnel to still go three wide and catch up that way as well. So, I mean, they just have too much versatility on offense. The Chiefs simply have the pieces on defense. No, I kept it at five because it still is kind of a coin tossy type game, but I wanted to at least have a take on it.
I think the Cowboys are the better team. That is my thesis. I think the Cowboys are the better team. If I was picking a team, I would be picking Dallas here. But I don't remember who I was talking about this last night with, but you know, the NFL has wanted for teams to just be as average as possible. They just want 32 average teams, you know, and the Chiefs are much closer to an average team now, but you can't legislate for quarterback skill. Like some teams are just going to be gifted with amazing quarterbacks and some teams won't. And that's what the Chiefs have. The Chiefs are mostly a pretty average roster outside of Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce. And then they have just a bunch of very average players. So that's why you don't ever want to pick against the Chiefs.
It'll be a little bit of a sweat, but I'm going in on the Cowboys.
Yeah. All right. My number five is the New Orleans Saints plus 2 points against the Philadelphia Eagles. Our thesis statement all year on the Eagles has been they wallop up on bad teams and they're not going to do as well against good teams. The Saints are less of a good team with Trevor Siemian playing quarterback than Jameis, but the defense is still really good. And what we've seen the Eagles be so successful with the last 3 weeks, which is so weird that they did this when Miles Sanders got hurt, but they've turned into this ground.
Well, they were going to do it with him. That's the sad part.
Yeah. You think so?
I mean, he started out hot against the Raiders and got hurt. Remember, everyone was playing him too that week. Like everyone was on it. And then, you know, he got hurt and then it fell apart again.
Yeah. So I think that, I just think that it'll be harder for them to execute the, 11 touches for Boston Scott, 12 for Jordan Howard, 5 for Gainwell, 10 rushes for Jalen Hurts game plan. And obviously, you know, I'm a little more than the average person. I would be more scared of picking against Hurts because I think he's such a gamer and he's looked a lot better passing the last 2 weeks too. Pretty encouraged by that. But, you know, and also what have we talked about with Sirianni? Donk. Sean Payton, not a donk. People kind of think he is because of the Taysom Hill stuff, but he is a good coach.
Well, no, he's such a good coach that it's almost a detriment to him. Like, cause he does stuff like
he fiddles around. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he's another guy that like just gets into like his own headspace of like, I am this good. I can get away with this, you know?
Yeah.
And that ultimately ends up hurting them in the long run. He definitely is a good coach. This game is weird because both these teams are weird. Look at the Eagles. They called 20 passing plays in the second half the past 3 weeks. Like, what? That's like an insane split. They're not going to be able to do that here. But also, for everyone saying, you know, they're not going to be able to run here, it's going to be interesting because Jalen Hurts made his first start against the Saints last year in like a similar spot at home when Saints had that 35 game stretch of not allowing a 100-yard rusher. And they had 200-yard rushers in the game, Jalen Hurts and Miles Sanders, because when you have a quarterback that can, you know, be part of the run game.
He's so good, dude. The Jalen Hurts haters are just going to have to suck it. He's so like, okay, he's not so good, but you can squint and you can see it, right? Like when you're watching him, like you can squint and you're like, I can see the final form of what Jalen Hurts can become. And that version, that player is really good.
Well, I think it's just shocking that so many people have closed the door on him so early when we literally have lived like the past few years of Lamar and Josh Allen, like the starts of their passing careers, you know, and to not realize upside. The problem is I don't really fully believe that the Eagles believe it either though.
That's no, the they don't. They clearly, yeah. They clearly do not.
Yeah. Right. That's my hang up is like, I feel like they like would instantly get rid of him if they could.
If they could swap him right now for like Derek Carr, I think they would. Like just a total name out of a hat. But I think they would, which is absurd.
Absurd. And I think when you look at their war chest of draft capital too, like, and to not be committed, it's probably gonna be something that's gonna be like a fulcrum point for the organization, right? Because they're not gonna fully commit and not build the team around him, and then it probably doesn't make him good enough, or they just get rid of him next year for no really good reason, and it ends up being the worst play, right? Like, I just feel like they're as an organization, it's kind of clear that they don't really have 2 feet in the door with him either.
Yeah, no, you're 100% correct, which is it's just. It's very annoying.
And he's free. Like, he's on a second. He's not.
Yeah,
not
he said he cost contract. Them no money. And the nightmare scenario is they, because they have these three first round picks, they're going to be like, well, if one of these picks doesn't work out, you know, it's, you know, kind of that fallacy of like, it's whatever. And they're going to take one of these quarterbacks that should not go in the first round. Cause this, it, people probably have not even gotten there yet, but this incoming crop of quarterbacks, I don't think any of them are NFL guys. That is my opinion. I don't think any of these college quarterbacks right now are NFL guys. And I think it would be a mistake to spend, you know, the eighth overall pick on Matt Corral or whatever.
Yeah. I haven't gotten enough into the weeds to really, you know, dissect.
I've just watched, I haven't gotten any of the data stuff. I've just watched these dudes, you know.
I kind of like Matt Corral a little bit, but like I said, I don't know if I take him in the top 10. You know, it looks like Carson Strong has something there, but you know, I Malik Willis is the one dude, like, obviously, I want him.
To I would love for Malik Willis to be an NFL starter, but
you're very... you want to take a dude from Liberty that like really has like one of the worst like passing. He's like some of the worst passing metrics like in all football. And you know, we did this with Zach Wilson last year too. Not us, but you know, the NFL did, where you had a clear, because we knew like you. It's like, hey, this dude's not playing anybody. He's faced no pressure at BYU. He's just standing back there and throwing the guys. Like, are you not worried about that at all, NFL? And like the Jets were like, from day one, nope, locking in number two. Like, not even a question. Like, the Jets didn't even entertain anybody else. And you see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. All right, what is your number four?
My number four, dude, I'm taking it, man. I'm taking the bait. I'm taking the hooks. I'm in on Cam, baby. Give it to me. Inject Cam Newton into the Carolina Panthers in my life. Because I've been long on the Panthers defense, you know, for the entire offseason. They were literally, we did a show this offseason, my breakout player, not you and I, but on Sharp Football, my breakout player was the Panthers defense. I've been long on their defense altogether. And if they just get baseline quarterback play, just not the worst quarterback play in the league, like, this is an absolutely functional team. And you saw that last week. If you could just get not Sam Darnold. and you know, Washington,
that's
is just
all it would take. Yeah,
yes, that's and their rest of the schedule is it gets hard, but their next three games are pretty winnable. And I just think that like Washington on the road is a terrible matchup for Carolina, because they're not going to really be able to run the ball on them. They probably won't have Logan Thomas or Ricky Seals-Jones, and you just have Terry McLaurin against a good.
Who is Sammy Bates? Season?
Yeah, Jonathan Bates, who actually is
Bates.
He's actually a super athlete though. He's like a three-time.
He was a basketball player, right?
Yeah, and he's a three-time 100-meter qualifier at Boise State, like in college. So like he was like a track star. He's like a big dude.
Sammy Reyes. I messed there.
He's the dude from Miami that played basketball. He played basketball, but he's
Dude. John Bates, 64% of the snaps, three targets last week. There we go. There's our there's our cash game tight end.
But yeah, I just think it's a terrible matchup for the Washington offense versus the Carolina defense. You got no Montez Sweat, you've got no Chase Young, and you've got the Cam factor, man. I'm excited about this. Like, I'm excited. I'm legitimately excited about Cam Newton playing football again. And don't discount that. Like, Cam Newton is younger than a lot of quarterbacks that people are considering to start multiple years. Like, this could actually work out where Cam Newton is like a multi-year starter again for the Panthers.
I mean, it's just all, does his shoulder stay good, right? Because his shoulder's gotten injured each of the last 2 years. He broke the foot. He got COVID.
He was not as bad last year as people think he was. Like,
no,
he wasn't.
Well, and even, you know, for our purposes too, he was a top 10 quarterback in fantasy points per game, even like when he threw like eight touchdowns or something, but it just,
eight touchdown passes.
The Konami code.
We led the NFL in rushing touchdowns for quarterbacks.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's very real. So I don't have that one on my list. But I don't have any problem with it. My next one is the Miami Dolphins -3.5 points. You can get it three at a couple books if you hunt for it. But I mean, what are we doing here? The Dolphins just beat the Ravens with like a really good defensive game plan. Tua came in and, you know, it just the fact that their offensive line is terrible here. I mean, you know, I guess the Jets, what, they have a couple good young pass rushers or whatever, but it's just the Jets, dude. They're starting Joe Flacco. Like, this organization is, they're clueless. Like, they're not going to win this game.
No, I mean, they surprised us a couple times this year, but this organization just, I feel like they're so clueless. I mean, what are they doing with Joe? Like, why are they even starving Joe Flacco? Like, it makes no sense. Like, even if you thought Mike White, yeah, the bloom on the rose is completely gone. Like, still, what are you getting out of starting Joe Flacco at this point of this season? Like, there is absolutely nothing to gain. I mean, they seem like they're one of the worst run organizations in the league, even with the new, all everything replaced. It, like, maybe it wasn't all Adam Gase, you know,
I feel like they're doing it to like protect Mike White. Like, I feel like they now think Mike White is an asset and they don't want him to put like more bad film out is what I think is happening.
Well, I think that's why they're not playing Wilson too.
Yes.
Because I mean, you've got this blitz heavy team, the Dolphins, who are literally just going to blitz your face off. That's all they do. I also think that the Dolphins too, like, you're getting a little bit of value here based on just, you know, what's transpired this season versus kind of like preseason expectation. Like, they still have talent on the defense. Like, they still do have talent on the defense. And, you know, I don't expect the Jets to be an offense that can really like light them up, even with, you know, Flacco, you know, playing against them. And Flacco started against the Dolphins last year with Adam Gase and the Jets, and they got smoked out of there. Yep. You know, and it was in Miami, but still, I think so. When you still look at it though, the Dolphins, like, their defense has not played good this season, but they have played really good the past 2 weeks, and they still have a lot of talent, a lot more talent than I believe the Jets can exploit. And you just hope offensively they can do enough and hold up and score.
Well, yeah, a whole bunch of what was happening with the Dolphins was injury stuff, right? They're missing Tua. They missed Howard and Byron Jones for multiple games. Devontae Parker's been injured. Fuller's been injured. You know, they just have had so many injuries. And every year this happens to NFL teams where they're so injured and they're not able to dig themselves out of that hole. They're basically one of the, the Titans are another team too, who have had a different, they've had different fortunes, but yeah, this one feels 3.5 points. Like, is that the closest the Jets have been all year in a game? It's gotta be.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Like you said, it's 3. I'm looking at it now. You can get it 3. It's 3 at MGM. It's 3 at Caesars. It's 3 at Wynn. It's 3 at Circa. Like, it's 3 a lot of places. So you don't get that hook. But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of what they were earlier in the season, if they were even closer. But 3 has to be one of their tighter lines.
It's got to be.
But what were they against the Falcons?
That was 5. It was 5.
It was 5?
Yeah.
So this has to be the tightest it was, because they were huge dogs in every other game I could think of, right? Like, the Titans game was probably tight because the Titans are missing all those guys. What was the spread deck? It was 6. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Not even close.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm taking it. If you're going to tell me of this Jets team, I'm going to get a field goal.
Yeah. A lot of disrespect here for the Miami Dolphins, I'm feeling, or maybe a lot of Flacco respect or something.
Be fair, like, Tua's been good in these spots. Like, when Tua's faced these level of defenses, he's been good. Like the Jaguars and the Falcons, like, he's posted points. So I feel like we are going to get some points here from the Dolphins. But like I said, their offensive line is so bad. They can't even throw the ball downfield. Like, we talked about, we were joking before we got on about Jalen Waddle. He's got 2 catches on throws over 20 yards downfield this year. And yeah, that's it. He's used as his season high is like 83 yards, right? Yeah. He hasn't had more than 83 yards in a game. He's used as like this intermediate, like, kind of, he's used like Cole Beasley in the slot. And like, literally target volume is what's propping him up as like a high floor player, which kind of we really didn't foresee happening for him.
You don't love to see it. I wish they would throw him some bombs. I don't know. Yeah. And I need Fuller back, dude. The best ball teams. Is he coming back?
I mean, is that the thing now? Like, we don't know. Cause he had some, he had some stuff off the field, like, you know, that he was trying to deal with. There was a rumor that he was like almost going to retire at one point.
That's a bummer. Wish I would have known that before I drafted him in like every team this offseason.
Well, that was during the season earlier when he kind of just excused himself from the team for that 1 week.
Yeah.
You know? We've seen it become, you know, to the forefront this year. Good for everybody, you know, be able to step up and kind of get their mental.
Have we gotten an update on Calvin Ridley?
No, my son was asking about that last night. I haven't seen anything, but, you know, there's still hope he can come back. You know, he had to sit out the 3 games because they put him on the
NFI list. Yeah.
But, you know, he could still come back when he is ready, you know. If he was watching last night, I assume.
Yeah, imagine wanting to come back.
Not to make a joke about it, not to be flippant about it, but.
Not to be flippant, but imagine wanting to play for the Atlanta Falcons. Like, no, thank you. All right, so that was my number four. What's your number three?
That was my three.
Okay, that was your three. All right,
so three. Then,
okay, so my three, looking at, oh, it's the Bengals. 1 point? 1 point against the Raiders? Come on, dude. The Bengals, I know there are lots of, like, the Bengals are not some super team or whatever. But I just like the Raiders are just, well, I guess you can't say teams are 8-8 anymore. They're the most 8-9 or 9-8 team ever. They're very average. I know that they're at home here. I just am not, I'm not a believer in them, and they have not figured out what to do on offense since the first game of the season, really since the first game of the season, you know, and obviously the removal of Henry Ruggs, you know, makes things a little bit more difficult with them, but they haven't figured out if they want to be like an established the run team. They haven't figured out how to target Darren Waller. Like they can't make, you know, they can't make Bryan Edwards happen. So it's just like, what is their plan? What is their identity as a team? They just don't have one. And the Bengals know exactly what they are.
Yeah, I mean, the Raiders can't run the football if they want. I mean, Bryan Edwards is making Bryan Edwards happen because he could only get open on linebackers and not any NFL defensive backs. But, you know, talk about Henry Ruggs. I mean, look at the two games since he's been gone. I mean, Derek Carr's ADOT now went from 6th in the NFL to 24th in the NFL. I mean, teams just aren't going to respect Zay Jones running 80% of the routes. You know, so D-Jax is going to have to run a lot more routes than the 7 he ran last week just to try to open this thing back up a little bit. But, I mean, we've been down this road with the Raiders, what, every year? They start the season out pretty decent in the front half, and then they just kind of fade as the season goes on. It's not completely their fault because a lot of things have happened in-house there this season, but it's a really hard team to bank on, you know, kind of just like – rethrottling to where they were to start the season. And the Bengals are a team you can believe in because the defense has been really solid all year, you know, outside of that Browns game. You know, Burrow's been good every game outside of that Browns game, and they're going to be able to drop back and hit you with three wide receiver sets and use Joe Mixon. So yeah, I mean, I have no problem. I don't have this one on there, but you know, now that you bring it up, it seems like a really good bet.
Just I thought this would be three on the road. I don't know, it just feels like they're treating these teams as very equal, and I think the Bengals are so clearly the better team.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah,
that's gonna be a popular DFS game too for the
yes it is
the pivot game.
Yeah, all right, what is, okay, so we did your number three, what's your number two?
My two is the 49ers. I show that this should be like nine.
This was my two as well.
Yeah, I mean, it should be a lot higher. Obviously, too, this Jaguars team is just not really good. I know that they beat the Bills a couple weeks ago to kind of showcase anything, but this Jaguars offense is a nightmare right now. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is playing some of the worst football of any quarterback in the NFL, and I don't want to pile on because, you know, I have long-term hopes for Trevor Lawrence, but since the bye, I mean, he has literally been one of the worst passers in the NFL. I mean, he's terrible against the blitz. He's ahead of just Zach Wilson completion rate against the blitz. He's last in completion rate below expectation since the bye. He's also the worst quarterback on third downs on the season. So, I mean, it's just hard for me to like really buy into this offense where at least the 49ers I can, you know, especially with Kittle back. And then, you know, Debo has been out of his mind this year. Like
unreal.
Out of his mind. And then like they're actually playing Ayuk again, and I don't really care what running back's in for them. It's really just a long short. Is that I show this line is short. I don't believe the Jaguars are very good, and I'm going to just take advantage of that.
Yeah, I just think the Jaguars have been, you know, trailing in some of these games where theoretically they should be like opening it up, and Lawrence should be doing a lot of what he was doing in college and just kind of spreading it around, and he just has not been able to do it. And I think part of it is, you know, losing DJ Shark was actually a pretty big deal, not just because Shark is so good, but much like the Falcons, the replacement options. So the replacement options are not great. And it also means that Chenault has had to play outside, which has totally stunted his development as a player because he just can't really play outside. It's just not really his thing.
And it's going to ruin him probably, right? Because he's only the second year of his rookie contract. And because he couldn't win outside, like this staff, I assume won't get fired after 1 year, although.
Yeah, I literally was saying this to on TV yesterday that that Buffalo win bought Urban another year. I think I literally think that because he's going to be able to say, look, I did it. We're, you know, we were at a talent disadvantage, but we game planned, we figured it out. Like, disgusting. Yeah,
because this staff's still going to be there, and they're, so then you have Shaw going in year three, and this there, he already showed the staff that they can't, like, he can't elevate, like, they have to use him in a right way for versus him excelling where they put him. And I feel like that's going to be a red flag against him. So yeah, tough scenes, real tough scenes.
Really, really tough scenes. I mean, I guess the only hope is that the ownership in the front office is like, we cannot have Lawrence be, like, if Lawrence is really bad for the rest of the season and the offense just looks clueless, like, you cannot leave guys like Urban Meyer and Daryl Bevel in charge of Trevor Lawrence. Like, they're clearly... he's clearly regressing as a player. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not good. Yeah. So that was my number two also. What do you have as your number one?
I mean, my number one is completely against, I guess, the sharps here, but I mean, the Ravens, it's just now 4.5. I can't even believe, like,
we're how is it? Where... how is this? This was my number one too, but I thought I was, like, being pranked.
Yeah. Well, it opened at 6.
What, why are we, why, look, well, I love Justin Fields more than anybody, but what are we doing? Like, is maybe Lamar's really sick? Maybe Hollywood Brown and Bateman are both not playing. You know, maybe there's some information we don't have. You know, maybe we'll wake up on Sunday morning and Lamar will be, you know, doing the AJ Brown run into the bathroom. But, like, dude, what? It's, yeah, Matt Nagy, dude.
Is it just because of last Thursday night and the illness to Lamar Jackson? But
I think it's a combination of that, you know, oh, now there's a blueprint to beat Lamar Jackson, right? It's, except instead of cover two, it's engage eight against Lamar. Mid-blitz. Yeah. And then the illness and Hollywood Brown and Bateman didn't practice on Thursday, but come on, dude, Matt Nagy.
I mean, there's just no way. Like, our Ravens versus Matt Nagy, and you're going to, it's going the other direction. I can't, man. I can't do it.
Yeah. I can't do it. I have no advanced analysis other than that. the Ravens are a good road team anyway, because the thing that Lamar does is he can just kind of take the air out of games, right? Because, oh, you got him dead to rights on 3rd and 7. Boom, spins out, jukes like 9 guys, gets a first down. You absolutely have to have, like, Lamar is the best ever at this, at extending drives and stuff. So I just, come on, dude. What? Matt Nagy, like, Nagy has become, like, my least favorite person in the NFL, honestly.
Well, and also, like, you know, even in that Steelers game, you know, the last time we saw the Bears, it was a great fourth quarter for Justin Fields. But, I mean, they had a ton of fluky stuff to get back in that game. It happened, you know, the Ray McLeod, like, you know, fumbled punt that got ran back for a touchdown. It was against the Steelers, who notoriously obviously played on to everybody, as evidence is last week when you tie with the Detroit Lions. Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Ravens are going to do that, especially coming off of what happened to them last Thursday. I just can't, man. I feel like it's a bye short week for the Ravens for sure.
Yeah. So that's all I got. That's all.
Everyone knows that, listen to this, like, we're Ravens honks anyway. So
yeah,
grain of salt if you want, but there's just no way. It should be 6. I actually show that this line should be 6 anyways, and where it opened. And so that's getting bet the other way. Like, I'm gonna lock in on it.
Yeah. DFS this weekend. Look, I don't care how chalky it is. I'm just finding ways to make these Dallas Kansas City Chiefs lineups work. Like, I think that there is a chance that this could be, you know, Rams Chiefs in Mexico City. Like, it could just be, it could be so good if a couple things break the right way. Like, the offensive lines need to play well, and we gotta have scores in the first quarter. And also probably the Chiefs need to score first, because if the Cowboys get up 10-3, yeah, you know,
they're going to run all day, baby.
Yeah, they're going to run. They're going to run a lot. So we don't want that.
It's hard to play all these guys, though. Everyone's expensive. Like,
it's Pringle, it's, baby. It's,
have
it's
you been
Pringle.
Making lineups with them? Have you been making?
Oh, yeah. Dude, it, Pringle. It's hard. Pringle. Well, and we are getting kind of saved, though, because I don't think Kamara is going to play. So we have Ingram, and we got AJ Dillon. Yeah, so that is nice.
Yeah, we have Dylan, who's not quite on the earnest pricing of last week, but yeah, it looks like. Well, why did the, so both sites priced up Dearness Johnson in the event of like Chubb would miss another game, but no site, neither site accounted for Alvin Kamara missing another game.
Playing again. Yeah. Yeah. Ingram's what, 5,400 on DraftKings again?
Yeah, and he's 6,800 on FanDuel. Like, how did neither, and because, well, DraftKings particularly has been sharp on pricing up backup running backs anyways. And they just left him out there. They were just like, here you go.
Yeah, enjoy it.
I know you're going to want to play all these Chiefs and Cowboys guys, but it's going to be really hard this week. You know what? We'll let you have this one.
Well, and we're going to play, dude, we're going to play John Bates too.
John Bates. And who knows what if we'll get Jeff Wilson. We'll still have to see on that today.
This is like a miserable week to do projections. We got, so Jeremy McNichols. It's getting worse though as we get deeper into the season. So like we got McNichols in concussion protocol, Alex Collins and Chris Carson both DNPs this week. So we could have that that vomit Patriot or Seattle backfield of Homer, Penny, Dallas, and trying to figure out which one of those guys. Oh, Homer, God. Homer. By the way, I noted we were talking in our group chat, and I was like, I think I've probably picked up and dropped Travis Homer more than any other guy. In fantasy football history, he outsnapped Carson last week week as they were trying to come back. Jamal Williams practiced today for the first time in limited fashion. Eli Mitchell apparently has a rib injury in addition to this finger injury, and Jamichael Hasty has not returned to practice with this ankle injury. Like it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's been like this all the whole NFL season. Every Friday, everything gets kind of, the overs that the slate has been flipped on its head. But there's been a ton of injury news dumped every Friday that's been really kind of shaking things up. And like you said, now you make lineups initially this week, it's like, oh, it's hard to play, Kelce, CeeDee Lamb, one of those quarterbacks in the game, or even try to fit Zeke in, even try to run it back with Tyreek or do and play all these guys. But now we might have all these guys open up,
it's gonna lead to Gallup and Pringle being like way overowned. Like Gallup is gonna be like 18% in some of these tournaments.
Well, that's what I thought initially, but maybe if these running backs come into play, it won't get there, because I literally thought, I was like, well, the only way to get cheap in this game is to play Gallup or Pringle.
My big take this week is Pringle. So I've been saying this on all the shows, so people are going to be annoyed by hearing this, but for the first time ever, he outsnapped both D-Rob and Hardman in a game. He's outsnapped Hardman before and outsnapped D-Rob before, but never in the same game. So it was finally like the first time that he was the second wide receiver on offense. Yeah. Trivia, Byron Pringle, number one run block grade. Amongst wide receivers from PFF.
He went to Kansas State, baby.
Buddy, he knows. He knows the drill. Yeah, he knows. He knows if you want to get on the field, you got to. He's small, too. Like, he's real small, which is weird. Really thought – I was with Thorman last night. I thought they would reward N'Keal Harry with a touchdown.
Well, he did. He was wide open on the pick, the A.J. Terrell pick. He was wide open, so maybe they tried to get him one. Then Mac just made the one bad read he kind of made last night was that one. But
where are you at on Mac Jones? Are you buying all this stuff about him being the best quarterback of the class? And
he always projected to be a good NFL quarterback. The only pushback was just how much fantasy upside was he going to have. And that's where people are like, oh, no one liked Mac Jones. It's like, not really. Like
people just wanted Lance and Fields because they'd run.
Yeah, and like we kind of thought, like, hey, he'd be like, probably a ceiling version of like Kirk Cousins or something, like that's how he got there. So it's like no one really, because you look at like Max like metrics like and stuff, like he showed out really well in like the top percentile of like so many.
Oh, yeah.
But it was really just a thing of like how much fantasy upside is there. And like, so that got misconstrued as like, well, nobody likes him. Like, yeah, man, like a lot of people thought he was like a really good quarterback and a really good passer. Yeah. He's also in the best environment too. I mean, all these guys, maybe if we would have saw Lance play, but I mean, Zach Wilson,
I think if Jimmy G like would have torn his knee in like May and Lance would have had all of rookie minicamp and all of training camp as the starter, I actually think he would have, I mean, there would have been some growing pains too. Cause he definitely, you can see a little bit of early, like in that Arizona game, you saw a little bit of like rookie Josh Allen where sometimes he just doesn't know what to do. And just kind of like panics. But I don't know, like that Arizona game, he people were nagging him for that game, but I thought he was overall ahead of what I expected a 21-year-old who had played one game in the last 18 months to do in an NFL game, you know?
Yeah, and he put them in a spot to even win that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I mean, it's a bummer because he's now probably not going to start now. I doubt he starts. You know, I think he's we could probably drop him now finally, which sucks. Because now that the 49ers won that game and the bottom of the
that
NFC,
was the that was the game that if they lost that game, I think we would have gotten Lance, and now we're not. He's not going to play.
Right, the bottom of the NFC is wide open, and the rest of their schedule is so easy. And the other thing too that I think there's a good reason, a good signal that we won't see him is that they've never doesn't even come in. Like,
he doesn't get the packages anymore. Yeah, he got the packages. Nothing. Yeah.
I mean, remember the first drive of the NFL season, he came in and threw a touchdown pass.
And scored a rushing touchdown the next week too, right?
And
I might be making that up.
Two weeks after against Packers. And that's just disappeared. Like, he doesn't even exist anymore. So,
but I think the reason why that is because Shanahan doesn't want to court any of the he just doesn't want to talk about it, right? Like,
do you
that's
think
totally
if they got into
is.
The playoffs that we would see it or now?
Yes, 100% guaranteed because you can tell from what they're doing at the goal line that they worked on this stuff in the offseason.
The third
Jimmy G had two
game.
Rushing touchdowns too.
Yeah, remember the third preseason game where they played the whole starters?
They were
like coming in and out, like they were doing stuff where like he was doing stuff in the RPO game with Mostert. Because remember, everyone was like, "Oh my gosh, Lance is going to make Mostert insane," and he because in that game he was just getting chunk runs, and they were rotating those guys in and out. I thought the start of the season we would see a lot of Lance mixed in, even if Jimmy was starting, and it just has disappeared. So I do wonder because they had to. We know that they practiced it. And if they get in the playoffs or they get into one of these games where it's against the team that they probably shouldn't beat, you know, if we would see it, you know, kind of come out like Kaepernick that year. But yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I'm holding him. I have him in a keeper, QQB keeper league, and I'm holding him still in that.
Oh, I've got him in a bunch of these. I've got him in a bunch of these dynasty league, you know, these super flex dynasties that we did.
There's no way he doesn't start next year.
Who does Jimmy start for next year? Pittsburgh?
I don't know. He'll start for someone.
Philadelphia. Philadelphia trades a first for him.
Yeah, my goodness.
You can already see that coming down. Or Indianapolis, maybe. You know, they just keep cycling through the old quarterbacks because Wentz only has 1 year left on his deal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's gonna start for someone because he's in that gray area.
Could be Miami. Like... Miami, because they could just be like, Tua, we're done with you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about the Eagles looking like they're not in on Hurts. It's crazy because it's our Hurts is a second round pick. The Dolphins took Tua at 5, and they seem like they're not even in.
The Dolphins hate Tua more than the Eagles hate Hurts. Tua must. I don't know. Maybe he's like shitty in practice or something. Because that's what you see with some of these guys when they don't practice well. The coaching staff and the front office is like, if you can't do it, like. Do you think
Tua does have some Alex Smith to him, right? Like, he does.
Yes. But Alex Smith, that is it's such an unfair thing that's been labeled as like bad. Alex Smith was a really good quarterback for a long time, but I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. But like you said though, like coaches and stuff are never going to feel like that's the guy.
Yeah. Because you're sitting there in practice and he can't like spin around and throw a ball into a trash can 60 yards down the field, you know?
And he's not like a physically, he doesn't look the part, right? Like,
no, he's kind of like soft spoken and like not a big, you know, he's
he's probably vaccinated.
Yeah. The Mark Sanchez, you remember the Mark Sanchez story that was on the Bill Simmons podcast where they said, if Mark Sanchez, Baker Mayfield, and like four other quarterbacks are all walking to the truck, they toss Mark Sanchez the keys. And it was Mike Lombardi. It was Lombardi said this to Simmons. They were like, Sanchez is the alpha. Like, Tua's not getting the keys. No one's throwing Tua the keys when they're all walking to the truck.
Did that happen to Mariota, right? It's like part of the reason Mariota got like wrong.
Yeah, because he was just a nice, quiet kid. He's a mission. His parents are missionaries, I think.
he wasn't a dude that was just a ghoul growing up. Because most of these quarterbacks have, like, you got to go back to like high school. These dudes were like the king shit, man. Like,
junior high, probably. They're probably the biggest deal wherever they were forever. Yeah.
You like, who's the kid in Friday Night Lights that they bring up? They bring in to like start over Saracen.
I don't remember his name.
But remember, like, yeah, like that's okay, how like. That's like every NFL quarterback is. That's how like 90% of every NFL quarterback was brought up, though. Like that kid.
JP, maybe?
Yeah. Is something like that? Is it JP?
Yeah, and he was a junior. Okay.
But that's how 90% of all these quarterbacks were brought up. They're entitled, man. I mean, it's fine. They get it. But they've literally run things their entire lives.
Yeah. And it just it doesn't
so they have that mentality, you know, when you come up, it's like, oh, no.
And I guess
Aaron Rodgers, too. Man.
Yeah, I mean, who does Rodgers start for next year?
I want it to be Denver. I hope it.
Yeah. Denver. Oh, it'd be so. I mean, just rocket ship. Sutton, Judy, Hamler back from the ACL. Fant, Albert O. They're just running 12 personnel, rotating that's Hamler
the
in there.
I mean, that's the spot we want. We need Denver to do a massive quarterback upgrade for sure. Like, we need them to be, and also we need Vic Fangio not to be there. Like, we need them to suck.
Oh, he's the worst. Yeah.
We need a whole new. We need Kellen Moore and Aaron Rodgers to the Broncos. That's what we need.
No, we don't need Kellen. We don't need Kellen Moore going anywhere.
I was on with Friedman last week too, and I said the same thing. I was like, dude, the Cowboys like aren't gonna be able to. They're not. They're, like, he has to get a head coach.
Jerry, Jerry is not a. He's not like the worst owner, but not the best owner. But I think he does understand the dynamic, and he understands how much better they are with Kellen Moore than they were.
He does. That's why he's paying him like that, you know.
But I think they got to have some deal in place where they're like, you'll be the highest paid offensive coordinator in football, and when Fat Mike decides he doesn't want to do it anymore, I will pay you $15 million a year to be the head coach of this team. Please do not leave.
They have to have something like that set up, because if not, that dude. That everyone has to want him. Like, he should be number one.
He didn't even interview for any of the openings this offseason, did he?
I don't know.
I don't think he did.
Well, remember before they even hired McCarthy, they still kept him. They were like, he's the OC.
Yeah. Well, which was, I remember thinking that was surprising. I remember thinking that he would just be the head coach, but I guess, I don't know, when you're a big business like the Dallas Cowboys, you don't want to give a guy his first.
They wanted that figurehead.
Yeah. Which, I mean, Mike, I got to hand it to him. He's not ruined a game for them yet, but he will. He will.
That's spoken like a true fan, but I am extremely high on Kellen Moore, though.
You just know it's going to be 4th-and-1 on their own 39 in the NFC Conference Championship game. And Mike is going to, you know, he's going to look at Dak, and Dak's going to be like, let's do it. And Dak is going to, and I don't even know the name of the Dallas Cowboys punter, but he's going to send him out there.
No, I mean, Northern just runs Zeke in the middle.
Oh, that is another frustrating thing is that they're bad on 4th down. The Cowboys go for it on 4th down, but they're not good at it because they run these, they run Zeke like right behind. They have a lot of faith in their offensive line, which I think probably makes the offensive line feel good and makes them excited about doing their jobs, but it does back them into some holes.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I just want Kellen Moore to be somewhere. He could be in Dallas, but
somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere as a beacon of hope for us to get these guys some touches.
So I was listening to the Cowboys Falcons game on the radio last Sunday because I had to do a little bit of yard work. I had like an hour of crap to do. The Cowboys announcers were like pissed that they were not kicking field goals. Like the Cowboys radio guys, they were like,
of course,
because they just kept going for it on 4th down and kept getting it. And these guys were like ready to like have Mike McCarthy's job for how effective the Cowboys were being on offense. It was like bizarro world. It was insane.
Yeah, I mean, that's. Yeah, the local radio is tough. It's tough scenes.
Yeah, it is. All right. Yeah,
I don't know.
Send the people where they need to go, my friend.
Yeah, it's sharpfootballanalysis.com. It's free week. Everything's free over there this week. So worksheets free. Warren's picks are free. Just head over there. Sign up. There's no like commitment or like credit card or anything like that. Just sign up and they get all the stuff for free this week.
There we go. Lord Reeves, my friend. Everyone, Sharp Football Analysis, and we will be back next week.